We are thrilled to have Doug back in Texas, and he is related to the Marks boys who have been students here, and hopefully that won't be too tough on him. And he's also a grandparents of the Hinton's child, children, I should say. Now, things changed. And also Phil Claycomb, if you would come up here real quick. Phil is joining us today from Northern California. Phil has been working with Stadia New Church Strategies in out in California, helping to plant about 70 churches across the country over the last few years. He's just joined our team. We're launching a new ministry here by the name of Nexus, and the focus of this ministry is going to be partnering with churches, particularly in the state of Texas, to plant new churches and then working on church planting and leadership care programs here at DCC. So we're quite excited. We think this is going to be a very cutting-edge program for DCC, and it's great to have Phil, who also will soon be Dr. Phil Claycomb. But
I have a little homework.
He's got just a small writing project or something like that that's left. But Phil, good to have you here. Thanks. Haskell County, Kansas is a sparsely populated area in the west part of the state of Kansas. Some of you may have been there. It's just west of the city of Dodge City. And there are small towns there, Copeland, Sublette. None of these are really well-known cities around the United States. But in the early, and some of you are taking offense at that because I think we have some who may even be from those places. Any hands? You know the county? All right, good. Late January and early February of 1918, there was a flu outbreak in Haskell County. And it made the news there, and it's one of the first reported news accounts in the nation, and actually in the world, of a particularly strong flu virus that outbroke there. And a number of people, it went from family to family to family, and many got sick, several even died. It was that virulent of a strain of the influenza virus. And because it's an area where so few people live, and there'll be miles between farms and homes, it probably would have ended, it probably would have run its course over the matter of 4 to 6 weeks and ended right there, except for one thing. Less than a year earlier, the United States had declared war on Germany in the midst of World War I. And so what was happening is a number of these young men from Haskell County, Kansas, were going to into the Army. And they were going across the state to Fort Riley. Camp Funston was there, and there was person after person. In late February, the last week of February, about the 28th, several men from Haskell County, Kansas, went to Fort Riley, and by 4 days later, March the 4th, one of the cooks at the camp was admitted to the hospital with flu. And within 2 weeks, there was more than 1,000 soldiers on that camp in the hospital with that flu, and many thousands more sick. Well, of course, from there, where did those soldiers go? They went all over the world. They traveled across the United States on trains to embark for the war. Then they went to Europe. And soon we had the great flu pandemic of 1918. There was a period during World War I where more soldiers were dying of the flu than were dying of battle wounds. And this spread, and it spread, and it spread. It became a terrible thing for the world. The peak of it was that fall, mid-September through early December. During the first year, there was more people who died worldwide of this flu virus than an entire century of the Black Death in the Middle Ages. In the first 24 weeks, more people died of this than all of the people who died in the first 24 years of the AIDS virus. Most estimates say now it was a minimum of 50 million people died worldwide from the flu. And the interesting thing, or perhaps the scary thing, is they've recently determined that the bird flu that we're hearing about now, various outbreaks around the world, is directly related to this same virus. And it's a thing that has many scientists and people in the medical community quite concerned. Well, as I was studying this, there's a book by John Berry that has a lot of facts about this, very interesting book. But as I was studying this, I did a little bit of research on where the word influenza comes from, because it's kind of an interesting word, and as I got into it, it became more interesting to me. It actually comes from medieval Latin, the word influentia, or influence. Because many years ago in the Middle Ages, they believed that viruses like this came because of the influence of the stars. And if the stars were in just the right position, you're going to get sick. And so it was under the influence of the stars, therefore they called it influenza. Now, we're not going to talk a lot about influenza today. It's not a very pretty picture. We are going to talk a great deal about influence today, and we'll take a look at some of the commonalities that those two things have with one another. I looked up some dictionary definitions of influence, and here's what I found. As a noun, one of the definitions is this: a power affecting a person, thing, or course of events. Now listen to this: especially one that operates without any direct or apparent effort. Did you get that? Here's another one: the power or capacity of causing an effect in indirect or intangible ways. That's the noun form. The verb form is this: to affect, win over, change, inspire, impact, sway, shape, stimulate, persuade, or in other words, lead. And that's the verb definition for influence, to lead. Today I want to talk about spiritual influence in our lives. I believe influence, very simply, is this: influence is changing the course or velocity of people or events around you. That's the simplest definition I can come up with. It's changing the course or velocity of the people or events around you. If you're working in a group of people and they're going too slow and you influence them to go faster, that's leading. That's influence. Or perhaps they're going too fast and you get them to slow down, or there's a terrible event getting ready to happen here. That's what influence is. It's disrupting the flow. It's recognizing that in this world, there is just a river of bad news, bad events, bad things happening to people all around us. And we decide as Christians that we're going to step into that river and we're going to disrupt the flow. Can we stop it by ourselves? Well, in most cases, you can't. But we certainly can be the ones that disrupt that flow. So it's that spiritual influence that I'd like to spend some time looking at today, because it's very important to the future mission of Dallas Christian College. We've got just a couple of slides here to take a look at. First of all, most of you will be aware, if you've looked at your catalog or any of the documents that we sent you when you're registering, the mission statement currently of Dallas Christian College, which is: Dallas Christian College educates students for Christian leadership in the church, community, and the world. Now, if you go back to 1950 when the college began, the mission statement was slightly different than that. Very different words, but quite a bit of the same meaning. And through the years, this statement that guides all of the things that we do has changed and evolved, but kept very focused on what God wants us to do. Well, a couple of years ago in a faculty retreat, we began to talk quite a bit about this idea of leadership and what it means to train leaders, and specifically how difficult that is to define. And we came down to this simple concept. What is it that leaders do? Leaders influence people. And so we decided that we needed to begin the process of changing this and looking at a new mission statement, and our board has just adopted this, and so for the next few minutes, I just want to share with you a bit about what the new mission statement of Dallas Christian College is and how we hope that it impacts and influences you in your life. The first part of it is simply this: Dallas Christian College educating and mentoring students. We've added the concept of mentoring. That wasn't there before, but clearly if you've spent any time here, you know that an education at DCC is far more than an education. You know that when you leave here, you'll have more than a degree. The chapel services, the small group Bible studies, the discipleship groups, the relationships that you build with professors, and the mentoring that goes on in that process. Folks, there are only a small percentage of colleges anywhere in the United States who take that as seriously as we do and who offer that to their students the way that we do. Educating and mentoring students to be, and here's the three things that we want you to be. Number one, people of influence. We want you to be people of influence. You see, many of you have the spiritual gift of leadership that's talked about in the Scripture. And you will leave here and you will build upon that and you will use that for great influence in the world. Many of you don't have the spiritual gift of leadership. And in fact, many of you will never receive the spiritual gift of leadership. And the question is this: does that mean God doesn't have a plan for your life? And God can't use you to change the world? Of course it doesn't. While not everyone has the gift of leadership, every Christian has the ability to be a tremendous spiritual influence for the kingdom of God. And so we see this mission as far more inclusive of all of our students and the things that you are going to be facing in the years of the future. We want you to become, we want you to be, while you're here, people of influence. What do people of influence do? We'll talk real quickly about three things. The first thing, people of influence use words of influence. Words of influence over and over again. Most of the time, those words are spoken words. Words and influence are absolutely tied together. You can't separate the two. If you want to be an influential person, you use words. I can say a single word or phrase right now that will influence the thought of every single person in this room. Do you believe me? I'll just use an old one. I mean, this is just a stupid old test, but I'll use it. Here's the phrase that I'm going to use. In the next 60 seconds, you can think about anything that you want to think about. You don't have to think about what I'm saying, all right? You don't even have to listen to me. For the next 60 seconds, you can think about football, basketball, lunch, the date this weekend, whatever it is. But just don't think about pink elephants, okay? All right, think about whatever you want, but don't think about pink elephants. If you're thinking about football, don't think about pink elephants running down the field. If you're thinking about basketball, don't think about pink elephants trying to make a shot, all right? Think of anything you want for the next 60 seconds, but do not let the concept of pink elephants enter into your mind, okay? Now, if it does, I want you to stand up, all right? If the idea or picture of pink elephants comes into mind, I want you to... Okay, now sit down. Now, the next part of this is to talk about those of you who lied, all right? Well, it's a silly example, but people, words are our stock in trade. If you're going to be a person of influence, you've got to learn to use words to influence people. I mean, look at the Scripture, Genesis 1. Words literally create worlds. In Genesis 1, God did what? He spoke the world into being. In John 1, in the beginning was what? The Word. And if you're past the sophomore year, you've spent a lot of time talking in our curriculum about what that really means. In Isaiah 55, 10 and following, it says, God's Word, once it goes out from His mouth, will not return void, but will accomplish what He sent it into the world to do. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is active and living, sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, and here's a beautiful one. Psalm 119, verse 130 says this. Words to the Lord that say this. The unfolding of your words, the unfolding of God's words gives light. Isn't that beautiful? The unfolding of God's words gives light. If you want to be a person of influence, you have to learn to use words. And not just spoken words, of course, written words. That's why we require you to write. And I know all of you love to write. Papers, tests, all of those things, whether it's notes, emails, letters, or someday books, written words make influence. There are words that we read that were written hundreds of years ago that influence our lives. There's these words written thousands of years ago that even to this day continue to influence our lives. Not just spoken words and written words, but also words of prayer. Silent words of prayer. Why? Because prayer changes things. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've been up against something or particularly someone that had become such an obstacle to everything that was going on, and I thought there was nothing I could do to influence it. And so I would pray a very simple prayer. Lord, please change that person's heart or change their position. Change their heart or change their location. And just lay it in God's hands. Say, God, I can't do anything about this, but I know that you can. Well, it's not just words of influence that people of influence use. There's also images of influence. Because we all know that a picture paints 1,000 words. I like the way that rings. So whether it's art, video, photos, television, whatever it is, we live in a very visual age. And the ability to influence with images that tell 1,000 words is a huge opportunity. Not just words and images of influence, but people of influence also use actions of influence. Matter of fact, some people say that actions speak louder than words. Is that true? I'm not sure that it is. I'm not going to disagree if you have that position. I know this. Words are actions in the first place. When you speak words or write words, that's an action that you're taking. And I know this, that actions can reinforce the words that you've said, or actions can diminish the words that you say. But I don't believe that actions are ever a replacement for words. If you act the way you speak, it's going to enhance your influence. If you act in a totally opposite way of the way you speak, it's going to hurt your influence. But in either case, it doesn't replace your words. In other words, integrity is a key part of influence. I'm going to mention something here that I won't be mentioning, hopefully, from this spot again. At the end of the semester, last semester, we had a small group of students who got together and decided to cheat on a final exam. And we know who some of them are, and some of them are just now coming to the surface. And I got to tell you, there's a whole lot of things I can say about that, about being disappointed by it, perhaps being surprised by it. I'm thinking to myself, if I'm in that spot, and I've been in that spot, while I'm doing that, I'm thinking, man, what if I get caught? What if I get caught? And just as a little sideline, I'd like to share with you the message today. What if you didn't get caught? I mean, that's the question you really ought to be thinking about, that you're going to cheat on a test in a place that's helping you to be a person of influence. You ought to be concerned that you didn't get caught, because if you didn't get caught, you might think you got away with it. And you might think the next time it won't hurt just to do it again. You can't be a person of influence if your words and actions and deeds have no relationship with one another. So, we educate and mentor students to be people of influence. Second part of it is this. Not just people of influence, we want you to be people under God's influence. Ties directly what we were talking about here. There are many people of influence in the world who have no relationship with God and don't follow His teachings whatsoever. And I'm not talking about power. Zechariah, the 4th chapter, 6th verse, where it talks about the fact that it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. You see, the problem that I think with some Christians today is they believe somehow that we're all going to get together and by force, we're going to take over this country. By power. It's almost like Peter chopping off the ear of the guard. He's going to save Jesus and he's going to do it by might, by power. And God says, no, it's not by might, it's not by power. It's by my Spirit. There are no substitutes for God's Spirit in spiritual influence. There are no substitutes for God's Spirit in creating influence. I mean, it's not affluence. The rich young ruler had affluence. The widow with two mites, she had influence. It's not appearance. That's not a substitute. Potiphar's wife had appearance, but Joseph was the one that had influence. It's not arrogance. And I'm not even going to pick any examples out of the Bible because you don't need to do that. All you need to do is go to churches throughout the United States today and see leaders who have such great arrogance in their lives. Spiritual arrogance is still just arrogance, folks. Arrogance does not bring influence. God's Spirit brings influence. And finally, the last part of the mission statement is this: educating and mentoring students to be people of influence under God's influence for a life of influence. Listen, some of you are going to go from here and you are going to end up in a position of tremendous influence. Positions. There are positions in the world that bring influence. Some of you will go there. Some of you won't. And here's what I'm going to say. It doesn't matter. That's not what it's about. God is not concerned about your position of influence. He's very concerned about your sphere of influence. Those people that he puts in front of you, in whatever location you're in, here or abroad, a high position, a low position, whatever that position is, God wants you to be an influence, a spiritual influence there to those people he's put in front of you. And again, look in the scripture. Esther was not the queen. She was not the king, but the king was in her sphere of influence, and she changed history for the Jewish people. Nathan was not the king, but the king was in his sphere of influence, and when he confronted David about his sin, it changed things for them. Jonah was not the king. Jonah goes to Nineveh and speaks 8 words in English. In Hebrew, it wasn't even that many words, and the entire city turns around. The cattle are wearing sackcloth and ashes. Read the story. God sent him there, and finally he went. And look at the influence that he had. Very early in your ministry, men and women, I recommend to you that you find the place to pray the prayer, God, I will go wherever you send me. God, I will go through the doors that you open to me. Without limitation. If you want to be a person of influence in God's kingdom, that is an essential prayer to pray. I look back on the first, what is hopefully the first half of my life. In some of the places I've gone and got to be, it's humbling to see some of the areas that I've had the opportunity to have influence. But you know what's more humbling as I look back over the first half of my life? All of those opportunities for influence that I didn't take advantage of. And that stack is far higher than the small pile of places where I was faithful to God for influence. Pray that prayer. God, I will go where you open the doors for me to go and be your person of influence in that place. I just want to repeat it again. DCC. Educating and mentoring students to be people of influence under God's influence for a life of influence. You know, our vision is that this place will be a city on a hill, a distinctive Christian university that's raising up people of influence and putting them all around the world and changing the world in that way. In other words, what we want for you is this. We want you to be VIPs. We want you to be very influential people. And how do you do that? Great commandments are these. Love God with everything. Your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love God with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the real key to being a person of influence. Love people with your hearts and with your gifts. If your gift is preaching, then preach in love. The world has plenty of speech of hate and preaching of hate. If it's teaching, if it's mercy, whatever the gift or gifts that God has given you, use those to love your neighbor, and you will be a person of influence. They'll know we are Christians by what? Our words? No. See, to be a person of influence, you've got to use words. for people to know you as a person of influence. It's love. I dream at night about this idea of influenza, spiritual influenza, if you will. Because what the flu virus does is it multiplies very, very rapidly, and then it mutates to become more and more powerful. And really, you can't see it coming. You don't know where it came from. It has this impact. You never saw where it came from, and it has this huge impact on your life. And I think that's the way God works. We don't see it coming. It's influence. It's an indirect way of impacting. And in my dream, well, here's what I'm telling you. I want you to go out and be a disease, all right? I'm just going to say it. I want you to go out and be a spiritual disease. I want you to multiply and mutate wherever you go. You are influencing people for the kingdom of God and bringing more influencers into that pool with you. I would love to see the great spiritual flu pandemic of the year 2020 or 2015 or 2010 or 2006. The world is desperately ill, and the only cure is a spiritual one. So as we come to the end, to me it's about as simple as this. You can influence the world, or you can be influenced by it. Which is it going to be? I want you to pray a prayer right now. We're going to take a few minutes. I want you to bow your head, close your eyes, and I want you to pray about this. I mean, I'm asking for a decision. I am asking you to pray that prayer of, God, I want to be a person of influence. God, I'll go where you want me to go. God, what are the gifts you've given me? Who are the people you've put in my path to love? God, how can I be your person of influence? Not this great leader that everybody knows and sees and all the glory that goes with that. Very simple prayer. God, how can I be your person of influence in my world? Bow your head and pray about that for a few moments. Oh, Lord, you hear our prayers, and you know our hearts. Father, I pray that we would learn your words. And more than that we would love your words. Father, teach us to use your words to influence in the things that we say, and the things that we write, and the actions we perform. Help us to be the living word in this world. Father, we pray for the opportunity to be influential. In the same way that we can't see where the wind comes from or where it goes, we can see the results of its impact. Lord, we pray for those types of lives, lives of humility and service and love, where your Spirit flows through us and changes things. Lord, teach us that. Give us hearts for that. Open doors for that, and give us the courage to step through those doors. Lord, I know the epidemic spiritually that could leave this place today could change Dallas and beyond. Give us the vision and wisdom to see that. And to believe that. And to step out on faith. We thank you for allowing us to be in your sphere of influence. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.